Thursday night, kept hearing this, and I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Friday morning, I kept hearing this, and I was like, are you kidding? So it was the Holy Spirit just talking to me and says, ditch what you planned, and I have something I want you to share. I was like, yay! How many of you know it's good to obey the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
The end results is much better. So he just really been putting on my heart about sharing about boldness. Sharing about boldness. And I'm telling you, we have never needed more boldness than now on this planet with everything that's been going on. And that's because there's this thing called fear. And fear has just been knocking at doors. And fear is actually the opposite of boldness. Fear's cousin is called anxiety. And it'll just come in and just wreck your mind. So today, before you leave, I want to give you some understanding about boldness and this thing called fear and how we can walk better through life. So, you know, I was thinking about this whole COVID thing we went through. We've sort of come through and little traces here and there. And then I was thinking about these ridiculous high interest rates that are skyrocketing and the price of gas is the highest it's been in history. Yeah, anybody can buy a gallon of milk. Wow. So I was thinking about that and all the crazy stuff. And then it got me thinking, all of that and what it has done in our nation, that I almost feel like people have PTSD in their brain, like post-traumatic stress in their brain because of all that's going on, and they're just melted in fear. And even in church, I am watching people in fear at the highest level I've ever seen. Churches, church people, Christian people. So I felt like, Lord, you nailed it. We need to do this. So I want to talk about boldness. And I'm going to make a statement. But before I do, I want you to think, as I say, you might want to write this down. Write this down. Am I in fear in any area of my life? Am I in fear in any area of my life? And you know, it's not a one-done package deal. Double that, never have to deal with it again. You know, it's just things come up in life. And this thing can kind of jump on you. So here's my statement. Fear freezes our feet and torments our mind. Post-it note, write it down. Fear freezes our feet and can torment our mind. So you know, I'm going to talk about torment your mind at the end, but let's talk about what that means to freeze your feet. What does it mean to freeze your feet? Because you know, when fear is hitting you, it'll stop you from doing some things that you ought to be doing. It literally will stop you. I ran into this lady probably about 2 months ago, and we were just chit-chatting, and I said, hey, you're going to go down here, and she goes, oh, I don't drive on big highways. I only take back roads. And I thought, fear froze her feet, and it is tormenting her. Right? So, you know, fear can show up in a lot of different areas where you know, I'm not going to share Jesus with so-and-so, or I can't invite somebody to church because then you have fear. It freezes your feet, and you're thinking, the torment is, oh man, what are they going to think when they hear Pastor D and then, you know, the people here, and it just will freeze your feet. So, and then we can be overly fearful, okay? Overly fearful, and you know, I know with the COVID thing, especially with people that have immune problems with their bodies, they've got some things going on in their bodies, so I understand being cautious, and I'm not saying not to be cautious if you've got this stuff going on. You're already fighting the good fight of faith, so be cautious, but don't let that fear freeze your feet and torment your mind. And I was talking to somebody just last week. They have a friend who still will not leave the house. Okay? That is fear that has frozen, and there is a lot of torment going on, right? So, ask yourself, are my feet frozen in fear in any area? Do I have some torment going on in my life? Because listen, guys, we have an enemy we'll talk a little bit more about, but he just does this really good. He'll just shoot thoughts at you. Just out of the blue, and it will just freeze your feet and torment you. So that's why I want to think, man, we got to talk about boldness. So question to ask, write it down. I think this is something you can take you know, check out really often. Am I in fear in any area of my life? So let me tell you a story. It's kind of a fun one. This is some friends of ours that are pastors, and I was hanging out with the wife, and she told me this story, and I thought, oh man, this is a fun one. So a friend of theirs, it's actually a family member, had passed away, and this family member was a teacher and then a principal. So they were not able to go to the celebration of life service, but the night before, they had a visitation service. I call it a meet and greet. So they drive over to this church where this meet and greet visitation services, and they couldn't even get a parking space. So they get out, and they're in line for like 45 minutes, waiting to get in. So they're talking to everybody. How many of you just talk to everybody now? Doesn't matter, it's a total stranger. Jack used to do that, and I was like, you're embarrassing. I do it now, I love it. You may never see him again. So they're telling the stories about talking to these two ladies and this, and they finally get in the building to the place where you sign your name, you know, the sign-in. And the husband says to the wife, hey, honey, you go sign in for us. And she says, I'm not touching that dirty pen. And he goes, yeah, but you have better handwriting. Oh, no. Mm-mm. You sign in. I'm not touching that dirty pen. And he says, okay. You know, husband and wife, you can do this. All right, I'll sign in, but I'm not using that hand sanitizer. And she said, this is the wife, and I know this wife, listen, you sign in, and then you use the hand sanitizer. And guess what? He signed in and used the hand sanitizer. So, I just need to ask, are your feet frozen in any area, and do you have any torment in your mind because of fear, all right? So, here's something, another post-it note. If you're taking notes, write this one down. Ready? The real you is a bold you. The real you is a bold you. Yeah. All right. Now, some of you are like, oh, no, that's no. Listen. The real you is a bold you, and you are bold by birth, by what God has put inside you. Okay. So look at your neighbor and say, you're a bold dude.
You're a bold dude.
Look at the other one and say, you're a bold dude. Because the real you is bold, all right? Now, some of you wouldn't do it if Jesus told you. I'm not talking to no one. Okay. How many of you are a one-scooper ice cream? Go out and only get one scoop, okay? I just get one scoop, all right? How many of you are a two-scooper with two scoops, all right? Well, listen to this. When it comes to boldness, God has given you two scoops. Not one scoop, two scoops. Watch your attention, we're going for ice cream. All right? Here's what I mean. Ready? God put inside you the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, has come inside you. He's pretty bold. I think he is, right? And then he has taken and recreated your spirit. That's now the real you. The real you is recreated in God's image and God's likeness. That's the real you. It's recreated in the image of God. And that real you inside you looks just like your body. So when you die, go to heaven, the real you's going, not this body. And I'm going for size 6 when I get there. I used to say size 2s, and I'm like, that was so for 6, okay? But that's what I'm going to look like, right? That's the real you, the spirit, the real you. So he has recreated you in his image and likeness. Everybody say, I'm recreated. In God's image and likeness. Right. And that means he's recreated you to be bold. How about that? So everybody say, I'm a bold dude.
I'm a bold dude.
Yeah, right? Now, some of you look at it. Okay, so two scoops. You are bold by nature, being recreated, and you're bold by the Holy Spirit that's come inside of you. Two scoops, hallelujah. So now that I got you thinking about ice cream, open up to Timothy 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to dig into this, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Ready? For which cause I remind thee, you, to stir up the gift of God that is in thee through the putting on of hands. Okay, almost every Bible scholar agrees. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. And he's talking to him because he has put his hands on him, laid hands on him, and he has now received the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Almost all scholars will say, yes, Paul prayed for him, and he now has received. And I'm not even going to get into talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to go over this some great material on it. But then I want to get down to verse 7. Listen to this. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Almost all Bible scholars agree that your human spirit and the Holy Spirit has a double scoop of boldness. Okay, so the first thing he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. How many of you know the Holy Spirit's not fear? How many of you know God can't have fear? He's just not that, all right? So he takes your human spirit is now recreated in his image, and now you do not have a spirit of fear. According to the Bible, according to the scripture, I'll give you one more. So that is not who you are. That is not your nature. God is not like that, so you're not like that. But you are made in his image. Say, I'm bold dude. Right? That's in there. Now, so the next part of it says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Okay, I've said this like 100 times. That word power in the Greek means dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite. And you know what that means? You should write this down. Ready? God's explosive, life-giving power. So God has given you God's exploding, life-giving power that's in you. Not fear. God's explosive, life-giving power is in you, all right? So, the real you is a bold you, right? Right? So the next one says love, all right? We're made in God's image. God is love. So guess what? You are love. That's who you are. And the last one says a sound mind. So this translation that I picked is written by a guy named Young, Dr. Young, Young's literal translation. And listen how he translated a sound mind. Just write this down. It means discipline. Favorite word when you're raising kids, discipline. The next one, favorite word for yourself too, self-control. And it's not really talking about this body. It's talking about your mind is discipline. Your mind has the ability to be self-controlled. So, God gave you the ability to have peace in your life, not fear, not anxiety, not worrisome. He gave you the ability through his boldness inside of you. Praise God. And you have the ability to walk in this boldness because you have what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, good. So, the real you is a bold you, and you are a bold dude because of the power and love and that God has placed in you. So in when you build a house, you don't start with the walls, you don't start with the roof, you don't start with the windows, you start with the foundation. So to understand boldness, we're going to go over 3 foundational truths. Otherwise, you're going to go, ah. So I'm going to give you 3 foundational truths so you are able to walk in this boldness, so you will understand this boldness, so you walk in it, right? Now, when you understand these truths, you will be a bold person. You will walk in this boldness. Now, does that mean I'm never going to get hit with fear? No. But that means that you can overcome it, right? You can overcome fear. You can overcome anxiety. So your feet won't be frozen and your mind won't be tormented. So the first foundation, the first layer that we're going to lay is this. Boldness rises up on the inside when you understand that God loves you. You know, I have talked to people that are just insecure, that are, they can't make a single decision in their life, and this is their foundation. They don't know that God loves them. You know, when you know God's love, you're like, fooey on the rest of that stuff, fooey on that person. But when I talk about the love of God today, I'm going to talk about not like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I want to talk about God's, the perfect love of God. So write that down if you're taking notes. This means the perfect love of God. So what do you mean by the perfect love of God? Well, you need to understand that God does not put bad stuff in your life. God does not do evil things to your life. God doesn't just pour down all this the stuff in your life that's bad. Okay? And the thing is, it's difficult to be bold unless you understand the perfect love of God. If you're, you know, it's, you can't be like, you know, God just did this. I just want to, what's my favorite saying? Rip every hair out of your head, smash your face on the wall when someone says, God took my child. This child died early. Man, but I'm getting nice and I'm saying that. Doesn't mean I'm not thinking it. Because I get mad at what the devil has lied to people. So they're thinking that God is bad and evil. So if you think that, you're not going to be bold for him. So here we go. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. So we need to understand where bad things come from. And a lot of you do, but let's know it so we can tell others, okay? 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. We need to have no fear of someone, God. We need to have no fear of God, right? No brainer, Pastor Dave, right? Who loves us perfectly. So what does it mean to love us perfectly? Well, the next part. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread or fear of what he might do to us, okay? So when you understand the perfect love that God has for you, you're not going to be tempted to think, well, that's God's bad. Look what he did. God brought this, okay? So you won't be tempted to do that and think that. The next part says, if we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and show us that we're not fully convinced that he really loves us. Right? You know, anybody sin? Anybody mess up? Anybody get into the building without doing that today? Okay, praise God. Okay, and a lot of times we mess up, all right? And then this is what we do. I'm afraid to go to God and tell him what I did. Number one, he knows. Okay, so that's fear, thinking that God's bad and evil is going to beat you up, all right? But when you understand the perfect love of God, you know that God is not bad. God does not do evil things. He's a good God. He's only going to give you good things, right? And the Bible says that when we understand this, that God is good, he's the perfect good love for me, then I can be bold for him because I'm not going, oh, is he after me, right? And listen, we do, understand that God is good. He has an abundant life for us, John 10, and that he's got a good hope in the future, good, good, good. But we do have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when those bad things come, it is not God. It is not God that it does bad things or evil things or just junk, right? So that's our first foundation that we have to remind ourselves that God loves us. Here's the second one. So that was layer one. Here's layer two. Ready? When boldness rises up inside of us, when we understand that God is with us. That God is with us, right? So there's this incredible story in the Bible, and you can open up to Genesis, I think it's 13 or 15. We'll get there. What is it? Genesis 15. But the story goes like this. I'm going to give you all the backstory. So God calls Abram out, and he says, I want you to go to Canaan. So he starts moving, and he takes his nephew Lot with him. And they are just prospering all over the place. And their herds are getting so big that they can't hang out together. There's not enough grass to eat. So Lot takes this side of the county, and Abram takes this side of the county, all right? So they separate, and one's living here, and one's living there. And then four kings with their army of soldiers, of 100,000 soldiers, attack where Lot is. They attack the city where Lot is living, and they take everybody and Lot and all their stuff, and they're out of there, okay? And then somebody comes running up to Abram, and he says, Abram, guess somebody came and stole Lot. They captured him, and they took all his family, and they took all his stuff. So now this is what you need to know. Abram only had 318 men in his household. They worked for him, okay? Only 318 men. And Abram, he goes, you know what? I'm going to send these boys after these three kings and these armies. And you're like, what? 318? I'm not sure about math, but I'm pretty sure we're not going to do so good. But he sends them on there. But listen to what God said to Abram first. He said, listen, for I am with you. I will go with you. I will go before you. I will go behind you. Right? So that's what. So Abram gives these guys some swords. I guess they had back then, and they go after the four kings and 100,000 soldiers, and they defeat them. Now you know that was God, right? That was a God thing, right? So they weren't trained, all right? So Abram wins, and they take Lot. And everybody that was captured, they bring them back, and they've got all the loot that that these kings all had, and they're just celebrating. Oh, man, we won the battle. And then this priest comes down the mountain, and his name is Melchizedek. All right, you can read about him in Hebrews chapter 7. So Melchizedek comes down the mountain, and he's called a type of Jesus. So when you read about him, you're like, ooh, I see Jesus in there, right? So he comes down the mountain, and he walks up to Abram. He's never met him before, and he walks up to Abram, and he's got bread and wine, which is like Jesus, his body and his blood, and he comes up to him, and he blesses Abram. Okay, now, Old Covenant, it was big when someone blessed you. Okay, you can read some of the patriarchs when they blessed them. So he walked up to Abram, who he never met. All right? And wink, wink, God told him. But he walks up to him and he blesses him. He blesses him. He prays a blessing over him. Blessings. And Abram, at that point, said, gives to Melchizedek a tenth of all the loot. All right? And that is the first place we see in the Bible about tithing. This is 400 years before Moses had the law. You will tithe. So this is where it's, and then we see it more, throughout the Bible, okay? So that's just part of the story. That's not even where we're going. Just hang on there. Just tell the stories, right? So after that whole thing, God appears to Abram, and now we're at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Ready? Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. Okay, he's referring to the fact that Abram gave to Melchizedek, which was really a type of Jesus. He gave. So then he says, hey, I'm your reward. I'm your source. I am going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. But listen to that other part. I am your shield. I am your shield. That means I am going to go with you. I am going to protect you. And just like I did with those four kings and armies, I got you. All right? So God's with you. He's a helper. He's a protector. All right? So it does. Listen. So whatever you're walking through in life, you are loved by God. You are not alone by God, and He will never forsake you, and He'll be your helper. And some days I just go, I'm not alone, I'm not alone, I'm not alone, I'm not alone, I got God! Right? I got God. What's that scripture? If God be for you, who can be against you? And it's sort of like, oh, I got God. Oh, you? I got God. I don't care. I got God. You've got to have that mentality, all right? Mm-hmm. Or it'll take you down. Fear will freeze your feet, and it'll torment your mind. All right, let me give you one more scripture about Abram here. It's in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So, do not fear, for I am with you. So when we understand that God is with us, we don't have to have fear. When you finally understand, and it drops here, that God is with you, you do not have to have fear. You should not be sitting in the chair of fear, right? Okay? Let's read the next part. Do not be dismayed, don't spaz out, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Whenever it says, I will, I will, I will, guess what, guys? That is a promise. That is a promise. It's right all over that. My promise, right? So my promise. So we can't be bold unless we understand that God is with us. When I understand that God is with me, I'm not going to mess with that fear. I'm not going to let it hold me on my feet. I'm not going to let it torment my mind. God is with me. He's going to help me through everything. And listen, I've been through some stuff, and I have said this, and I've watched Him walk me through it. So I got to thinking about, the last 2.5 years with this COVID, and now we've got this crazy high inflation, and gas is just ridiculous, and then you couldn't buy baby formula. There's all sorts of stuff going on. So I was thinking about that. And then I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to this group of people. They were Jews, Hebrews, and then they met Jesus. Okay, so they grew up in the Jewish faith, and then they met Jesus. So Paul is writing a letter to them because they are being smacked hard with persecution. Like, somebody told me one time, the people in my office are just talking bad about me. I'm like, girl, you don't know nothing about okay? But listen to what was going on there. They were being persecuted so severely that if they knew that you were a believer in Jesus, they'd come in with the authorities and take your house, steal your house, kick you out, throw you out. That's persecution because of your faith in Jesus. If you were working for so-and-so and they you know, they knew that you were a believer of Jesus, they would just fire you. Sorry. That's persecution, right? Sometimes they even throw you in jail because of your faith, because of who you believe in, who you stand for. And sometimes if you're in jail, they're going to kill you, right? So they are being persecuted. But listen, they are being persecuted by the Hebrews, the Jews. Maybe their neighbors, maybe their friends, okay? They're being persecuted, and that's the extreme of that, right? So Paul writes the book of Hebrews to these people, okay? And then chapter 13, verse 5. I think this is really kind of apropos for what's going on in the world. But listen to this. Oh, I'm not quite there. Hold on. Here we go. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content. Everybody say content. With what you have. All right? So he's just saying, hey, don't let money be your God. Okay? I'm your God. I'm your God. Don't let money be your God, okay? And don't worry about the things that they've taken about, taken away from you. Don't get all fret in your mind, okay? Just don't fall in love with this money thing, right? Now, it doesn't mean you don't need money. If you think you don't, please give me your money, okay? God's not saying you don't need money. God's not saying that he doesn't want to prosper you. It's not saying he doesn't want you wealthy. He's just saying, hey, listen, get it in the right order. This is not the first thing. The money is not what you chase, what you get up and you think about all day long, okay? That's all I say. Now, here's where I really wanted to go. Let's read the last part. Because God has said, now watch what he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Oh, wow. So it sounds like no matter what, no matter what, God is with you. No matter what. Now, how God is with you, okay? And then verse 6. So this is what we do. When I know that God is with me, this is what we will do. This is what I can do. Ready? I will say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do? All right? When you know that God is with you, no matter what's going on, no matter what's being said, and you know, you're just like, I can say with confidence, God is with me. And then he's also my shield. So, the real you is a what? A bold you, right? And when we understand that there's a perfect love of God towards us, we will be bold. When we understand that God is with us, no matter what's going on, we will have this boldness, okay? Here's my third foundation, ready? Boldness rises up inside us when we understand our authority in Christ. Listen. You understand the authority that you have in Christ, you will be bold. You will be bananas. What? Okay? All right? And listen, you know, whenever you're going through troubles, okay? Whenever I'm going through troubles, there's actually a double trouble. So you got this trouble. You got this mess going on. But there's a double trouble because you have an enemy. You think that's trouble? I want to tell you, you have an enemy. His name is the devil, okay? And it comes with a whole team, all right? So you've got the devil and a team, all right? And so whatever you're going through, he's going to try to put thoughts in your mind. And he will if you allow him. Tell your neighbor, don't allow him. Yeah. He will. This is these shooting thoughts. Some of you open up, go online and look at your bank account. Checkbook anymore, you go online and he's shooting thoughts and he will keep shooting them if you allow them, right? So the Bible says, it's in Peter. See there, 1 Peter, the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He ain't no lion, he's acting like one, right? The devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking he may devour. And then it says right next to it, resist him. All right? Another scripture says, resist him and he'll flee. So who has to resist him? Okay. So the devil doesn't always bring all the problems, okay? Sometimes we do dumb stuff. Backing out of the garage. Me. I did not see Jack's Suburban. Do you know how big a Suburban is? Boom! No, I didn't bring that. It was just me being not paying attention, okay? But listen, he's going to bring all sorts of thoughts to you. That's what he'll do. Man, we're never going to get out of this. Oh my gosh, God bless him. He doesn't even know who I am. God just doesn't love me. Look what's going on. Oh my gosh, I'm a failure. Those are thoughts. Right? Okay. So he does that, and then he also loves to just throw some temptation on you to do some stuff you shouldn't do. All right? He just loves to, you know, why don't you just yawn, eat one glass of that? Wink, wink. Next thing you know, okay? Or you can just open that up. You with that, all right? So that's the battle that goes on. It's really up here. Joyce Myers, thank you, the battlefield of the mind, right? I don't know, she sold zillions of copies, she should get that, okay? But listen, we have to understand that that's the battle and that we have authority. We have authority that you don't have to take the fear, you don't have to sit in anxiety, you can resist the devil and he will flee, all right? So, I'll tell you a story. Here we go. I'm going to create this one. Let's suppose we're all on a trip to New York City and it's rush hour. Okay? And the lights are all working. Red light, green light, red light, green. They're all working. But I'm not moving because there is a police officer and he says, does this. He's got his whistle and does this. You can't even hear him because there's so much noise. So what are you going to do? You're going to stop. I'll tell you ahead of time so you don't get in trouble, all right? You're going to stop. We're driving along. It's rush hour. I got a green light, but we are going because this police officer now controls the traffic, right? And when he says this, guess what you're going to do, all right? So he is controlling the traffic. It doesn't matter. That's a green light. I should be going. No, he is controlling the traffic, all right? And you might think, you kidding me? It's the old thing. Like, I could run you over. You're just like 100 pounds. My car just make well pizza out of you, right? Okay, but because he has the authority, when he says stop, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop. Now, I could just keep going, but he has, in Jesus' name, all of New York City's judicial system backing him up. In Jesus' name. You know anything about what's going on here, all right? And because they're backing up his authority, guess what? I'm going to stop, all right? So, why? Because he has authority. Now, okay. That's what the Bible teaches about you. That's what the Bible teaches about you. God has given you, my little kids downstairs, police badge. He has given you the authority to resist the devil and he will flee, right? Guys, so you can resist him, right? Now, God gave you the authority, and we're going to talk about what that looks like, okay? So you have been given the authority to resist the devil, okay? And listen to this. All of heaven is going to back this up when you know that you have the authority that's been released to you. They'll back it up, right? Okay? So you don't have to have fear. You don't have to have anxiety. You just need to go, in the name of Jesus. I love when we're singing the name of Jesus. Okay? In the name of the authority of Jesus, I resist you. I command that thought to go. And the second part of this is you need to stick something good in there. But you keep going like this. I command it to go. I command it to go. Okay? So you need to put your hand up and say, I resist you. Devil, I command you to go in the authority in the name of Jesus. All right? So let me give you three scriptures about it. Yeah, two. Colossians. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, that just really scores the points on this one here. Colossians 2:14. He, God, canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Okay. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, he has taken everything you've done, your past sins, your present sins, and the ones I might cook up tonight, okay? He has taken them, and Jesus has taken that, the punishment for that, and it was put on the cross, right? Now look what happens. Look what else happened on the cross. The next part, verse 15. In this way, he disarmed. Everybody say that word. Disarmed. You need to write that down, because this will give you some answers. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Okay. So the devil and his team, okay, the devil and the team, he didn't destroy them. What? That's why I said you got to write down this word. Disarm them. God did not destroy them. Jesus did not destroy them. He disarmed them. Okay? Jesus disarmed them. Right? So he's still out there. He's still out there. He's walking around and he's like, oh, I wonder if they know they have authority over me. I wonder if they know they can resist me. Oh, they don't know. Okay? Right? Because he's been disarmed and you can allow him. Right? So let me read verse 15 again. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly on this victory on the cross, okay? So Jesus took the devil's authority over you and I. He took it, all right? And now he took it away, he's disarmed it, all right? So turn over to Ephesians 2. It's getting better, it's getting better. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 6. This scripture. Here we go. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Jesus. God raised us up with Christ, and where are we seated? Some of you are like, listen, I know my feet are on the ground, right? I know I'm living on this planet, okay? But this is how God sees us. This is positionally what's really true about your life. Yes, I am still here, okay? But in Christ, positionally, I am seated. And if I can jump, I can. Okay, I am seated with him in the heavenly places. Everybody close your eyes. Where are you seated? In the heavenly places with Christ, all right? And listen, that is really positionally who you are, where you live your life out, right? Now, that's really important to know because back in Bible days, whoever was seated at the right hand of the king, wink, wink, who's seated at the right hand of the king? Jesus, okay? But whoever was seated at the right hand of the king, right, he had all authority in the kingdom. And then, a lot of times, they'd give him a ring, okay? And that has to do with their authority. So the king had the ring, and it talks about, the king gave you a ring, it talks about authority, right? And everybody was subject to the man who sits on the right hand, who has the ring, right? So I'm going to read this again. And God raised us up with Christ and has seated us with him in the heavenly places.
You have authority. He's waiting for you to say, I command this fear to go.
to go, right? Just like the police officer. You have the authority, right? All right. 21, verse 20. Now he is far above any rulers and authorities or powers or leaders or anything else, not only in the world, in this world, but also to the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Raise your hand, church. He did this for you. You have the same authority, okay? All right, okay, I'm excited. Here we go. Okay, so you are seated with him in the heavenly places, and you have the authority that Jesus has while we're here. All right? So, again, he doesn't say, oh, pray to God that he'll take fear. No, he says, you resist him and he'll flee. So what's your job? Resist him. And you got to chew now. So I want you to leave here understanding this boldness thing. And you really understand that God loves you like his perfect love, you will walk in this boldness. And when you understand that he is with you through thick and thin, good times, hard times, okay? And when you understand that, you will walk in this boldness. When you understand that there is an authority that's given to you, do something with it, and you will walk in boldness. Right? Amen. Amen. Right? You won't be, oh, I can't do that. But I have this. I still work on this. Okay? Still work on this. Okay? But getting better at going, come in, you go. You gotta recognize that. Okay? All right? So, there's lots of junk out in the world. There's just, you know, but nothing can freeze your feet, torment your mind, unless you allow it. Oh, Pastor, that was so much fun. Great message. All right. Why don't we just go? Father, thank you for boldness. Father, thank you for boldness, right? I think it's a good time to pray. Praise the Lord. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, right? Father, Lord, I pray that you will continue to open our eyes to these three foundational truths. That you love us, that you're always with us, and that you gave us authority in Christ. Father, I ask Holy Spirit that you just remind us that we would see this more clearly as we go through the week when this thing hits our brain. When we do this, remind us that you have given us this boldness to tell the devil to stop and to go. Amen. You know, there have been seasons, I'm not going to continue praying, but just for long, there have been seasons in my life where fear just gripped me. And I wanted to do things and I couldn't do them. It just was fear. I wish I had preached this message like 20 years ago. I was like, geez. Okay? So there's still areas, right? Everything from a doctor walks in and they give you a report, fear, start doing this. It'll freeze you, and you'll forget to say, wait a minute, what commands you to go? In Jesus' name. Dad, after Jack died, I was invited to this conference. How long ago? Because that was kind of the first time I'd go by myself. Fear had my feet frozen. And if it wasn't for my good friend Kathy Fleming, maybe. Grabbed me to go to this. And she just hung on my arm like two little ladies. Just help me. And then she got her mom finger out. She says, girl, you let fear get in again. So I know, all right? And so fear can hit all of us in all different fashions, all right? So I want to continue to pray. If you've been gripped by fear, it's just gotten you frozen, it's just been tormenting you. We just want to pray with you, okay? So, Father, who's ever here or who's ever listening online, and they recognize, whoo, this is an area where fear is coming to my life and anxiety and not your best. Father, we take authority over that fear. Command it Now, the real deal is, there's sometimes I have to say that, okay? Until I go, wait a minute, okay? So you're like, well, Pastor, I said that once. I say it a few more times, right? All right. Just one more thing here. I just want to ask everybody, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. I mean, like, what have you done with Jesus? And I'm not asking you if you've grown up in church. I think church is a great place to grow up, okay? But I'm not asking if you believe in God or you don't believe in God. I want to ask everybody here, what have you done with Jesus? Because Jesus came for that very reason, that you could know him in a personal way, right? So if you're here and you see, like Pastor Dean, I see Jesus, right? I'd like to pray with you. So I look around, and I don't know about you here, but, you know, I had this one person come up to me. They had been attending church for 6-9 months, and one day, they did this. I was like, really? Okay. So we're going to pray this prayer together. And also, you can pour, this is practice. Someone says, oh, Pastor Dean, I got to pray this person so you can lead them to the Lord. You can do it. Okay? So this is practice for some of you. And others, I want to ask you, what have you done with Jesus? Okay? So if you're like, I realize I need Jesus, the Savior. He came to die for the sins of mankind. He came to die for you and I. He would die on a cross, and God would raise him up and seat him in the heavenly places, so that he can bring us into his family. So if that's you and you've never prayed this prayer and you'd like to receive Jesus, today's the day. Sorry, just close your eyes. And, matter of fact, we're all going to say this together. You know this is practice, right? So everybody say, Father God, I realize I need a Savior. I realize I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I repent of my sins. And I look to Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking the punishment that should have been mine. And today I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. So I've got altar numbers that you all can come up. But listen, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, like you're like, I did it. I really did this from my heart the first time. The Bible says, even though we can't see heaven, the Bible says that all of heaven is celebrating. If one person in the globe receives Jesus, they're just celebrating. Right. So listen, you are so special that heaven is celebrating. Right? And if you pray that prayer, you are now part of this family. You're part of God's family. You're a son and a daughter. And now you are seated where? Up in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Right? And now you can live a life like bold and fearless, okay, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would, if you pray this prayer for the first time, hey, we got Bibles, really important thing to have. We got Bibles for you. We also have little materials that just help you on your way. Or if you'd like to come up here, and we're just going to agree with you in prayer. Anything that's going on in your life, right? So come on up, otherwise the coffee's good.